Warning: The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Blue Monday, how are you, Blue Monday? Got to work.
It is The Savage Nation. I know many of you wait for that downbeat every Monday, and Rock and Roll Friday, you wouldn't know what to do without it. So it's Monday. And what am I going to do today? I had a dream. I'm going to talk about a dream I had about a dinner I had with Barack Obama. Now, for those of you who are familiar with MichaelSavage.com, you know where I'm going today because it's been up since yesterday. I predated this show by saying what I was going to do today on my website. I did have a dream, and I have slightly psychic powers. I know you're going to say, he's making it up. All right, I did. I have slightly psychic powers. Sometimes I can foresee what's going to come, and it happens. The same night that I dreamed about dinner in a Chinese restaurant with Barack Obama, I dreamed of a college friend of mine who lives near me, who I haven't seen for 3 or 4 years. We had a falling out. He's a very liberal lawyer. He insulted me. We never talked again. And I thought of him that night in the same area of the dream state. I thought I'd run into him again in a certain market. And I swear, as God is my witness, yesterday in the middle of the rainstorm, in the middle of the drought rainstorm, I went to this market and there was my friend. And we had a long talk about everything. So now, what does it have to do with politics? Well, everything. So the dream. I was in a broken pickup truck with Barack Obama. Somebody else was driving. I was struck in the middle. Mr. Obama was to the right. And there were several people behind us. We were going down Broadway in San Francisco. And I said, could you guys please drop me here on the corner of Sansom? I want to go to a Chinese restaurant. And I said, as I got out of the truck, I said, Mr. Obama, would you like to have a meal with me and sit down and talk about the differences that we have? I said, you grew up in Hawaii. I lived there for a while. You like Chinese food. How about clearing the air with me, Michael Savage? You met with Bill O'Reilly. He didn't ask you many questions that millions of conservatives are fuming about. I said, to end the mistrust and hatred, Mr. Obama, to end the hatred and the mistrust in this country that is infecting the air of America itself. No cameras, no makeup, just Michael Savage and Barack Obama sharing Hunan dishes. I know you'd like them, Mr. Obama. No cameras, no microphones, no notes. Over shrimps and Napa cabbage. Over Hunan velvet chicken. Over crispy meat pie. And steamed pork dumplings. Or perhaps you don't eat any of that and you want shrimp combination fried rice. Or perhaps you like dry sauteed string beans. Or garlic chicken, or chicken with Peking sauce, or smoked ham with string beans. Why don't we just sit down and talk about what's plaguing America? And I wrote down these questions Sunday morning, and I'm going to ask you, the listener, to tell me if I missed anything. I'm going to ask you to tell me if I had a dinner with Barack Obama, whether it be in a cheap Chinese slop joint, which I love, what other questions would you want Mr. Obama to answer to put to rest some of this enmity that is infecting America? Question one. Mr. Obama, why did you insist on pushing into the Civil Rights Division of the U.S. Justice Department a lawyer who defended the assassin of a police officer, a lawyer who has such a hatred for the police and law enforcement that he called them an occupying fascist presence? Over pork dumplings, Mr. Obama, why did you just sign an executive order making it possible for foreigners with terror ties to become citizens? Mr. Obama, over fresh sautéed squid, why did you refuse to send military help to the people trapped in Benghazi? Mr. Obama, why do you attack Israel and have John Kerry threaten the Jewish people with another intifada and boycotts unless they give away half their nation? And now that we're up to the country-style smoked ham, either hot or mild, Mr. Obama, number five, why have you fired so many combat generals on such slim charges at a time when China is on the march and the Islamofascists are stronger than ever? Number six, Mr. Obama, boy, this Hunan orange sauce chicken is good, don't you say? Mr. Obama, why have you dismissed almost the entire nuclear command structure on trumped-up charges? Number seven, Why do you keep expanding the welfare state when the economy is so weak, such as expanding unemployment payments, not reining in the 12 million and growing army of Americans cashing in on disability payments, Mr. Obama? Number eight. Boy, this rice is nice. They do make it for us, you know, fresh. Number eight, Mr. Obama, why do you keep pushing for amnesty for 30 or more million illegal aliens, mainly Mexicans and other illegal aliens, when they're here illegally? And we cannot afford them, when they won't learn English or our history, when they want Mexican flags at sporting events and speak of the gringo with such contempt. Mr. Obama, it doesn't make sense. Even the Swiss just voted to curtail immigration, saying it was destroying the Swiss culture. It can't be that many Republicans who have left America and have now voted in the Swiss elections, can it be, Mr. Obama? Number nine, Mr. Obama, why won't you stop the IRS from targeting conservative groups, harassing them with audits and blocking their nonprofit status? Do you like the spicy shrimp with bean curd, Mr. Obama? It tastes very good. Here's question 10, Mr. Obama. Why won't you stop the NSA from spying on innocent Americans? Again, if you're listening to the Savage Nation, these are questions that O'Reilly didn't ask in his interview. And I had a dream that Mr. Obama agreed to have Chinese food with me. And it's sort of an invitation to Mr. Obama to put aside the enmity and the hatred in this country. There's no better way than to meet a conservative member of the opposition party. Because I, Michael Savage, am not a politician. I've never been a politician. I've never been a lawyer. I don't intend to be a lawyer. I don't intend to be a politician. I am an American, and I have questions. So, Mr. Obama, again, I address another question to you. Why won't you prosecute gangsters on Wall Street and those corrupt senators and congressmen who are stealing billions of dollars through front groups and their relatives with fraudulent federal contracts, Mr. Obama? Number 12. Boy, this garlic chicken is very good. It beats Safeway. Why won't you approve the Keystone Pipeline, which will bring much-needed oil from Canada to refineries in America? For Americans, Mr. Obama, it makes common sense. Instead of forcing the Canadians to ship this precious black gold to China. Mr. Obama, question number 13. You closed the World War II Memorial during the government shutdown, while at the same time you granted thousands of illegal aliens the right to the Capitol Mall to protest existing immigration laws. Can you explain to all of the veterans who hang on my every word what you were thinking, Mr. Obama? 855-400-7282 is the phone number. I've asked you a several number of questions. I have many others. I've limited it to 13 or 14. I have many more. If you have any that I have missed, you can call 855-400-7282, 855-400-7282. Again, I'm talking about a dream I had. Sometimes my dreams are just dreams. Sometimes they predict what's coming, as it did with an old friend that I hadn't seen in years, and as God is my witness, I ran into him the very next day in the very same place I thought I'd see him. Is this precognition? I don't know. Sometimes some of us can see around the corner. Some of us have the ability to see ahead. Actually, anyone with logic, I told this to a friend of mine who has made a fortune as an inventor, and he said it's not intuition for him, nor is it precognition for him. He said it's simple brains. He said if you put two and two together, you can add up and come up with four. So he's a rationalist. I'm highly trained in science, in certain sciences. I have a super rational brain that runs like a HAL 9000 sometimes. And sometimes I run purely on intuition. Sometimes I run on horoscopes. Sometimes I run on the Bible. Sometimes I run on fear and loathing. Sometimes I don't run. I just hide in a bed. I lock the door, load the guns, and put the bark machine on. I don't even have a dog named Teddy. It's all an invention. No, Teddy exists. 855-400-7282. So again, if you want to hear this in its entirety, you're hearing it in its entirety. Nobody will publish this except WND. It's the most original thing in the history of talk radio. You heard it live. I give it to you for free. It's on michaelsavage.com and WND.com. The floor is now open. 855-407-282. You can join the conversation. I have loads of news to get to. Did I leave anything out? Let's start in Florida. Mark on WFTL, go ahead, please.
Michael, you've asked every relevant question that could be possible. Unfortunately, the answers are not good, but the good news is we can talk about what we can do about this. This is someone who obviously let these terrorists and people with terror ties into the country deliberately. They know what they're doing. Eric Holder knows what...
Yes, that happened on Friday. Eric Holder with the writ of a pen, him and John Kerry, another wonderful American, a real war hero who faced real bullets in Vietnam on his Swift boat. That sterling American, John Kerry, along with the genius running our Department of Homeland Security, selected not because of his race, but because of his incredible background in homeland and in security, signed an executive order permitting those on terror watch lists with ties to terrorists access to become citizens in America, saying it was only fair. Unbelievable. That's the world we're living in. But I want to, before I take my break, I got to go back to something important. Listen to me. What you just heard is history-making because it summarizes and is so succinct that anyone on earth would say, you know what, I'm a liberal, but the guy is right. These questions should be answered. Let me explain why I'm doing this in writing and on the show today. It's not to make things worse. I am such an idealist. I am such a dreamer. I am such a hoper. I am such an optimist. I am such a Boy Scout. Did I believe that President Obama will get this message, and if he can meet with the leprechaun with makeup and lights and Klieg lights, then he can meet with the most honest, conservative talk show host in America who has a significant audience. This audience is boiling over, it's fuming, and we want to stop it. We want to stop it. I'd like to put aside my own doubts and fears about my doubts. Help me, Mr. Obama. Help the 30 million Americans who are at the limits of their ability not only to understand you but to tolerate you. It's as simple as that. That's what a democracy should be all about. It should be reaching out to the opposition, not crushing the opposition. It should be listening to the opposition, not blocking your ears to the opponent. It should be an open dialogue, not a closed shop. I'll be right back. It's the Savage Nation. Give me 15 minutes and I'll give you America.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. The Savage Nation is presented by Swiss America at 800-BUY-COIN, the only gold company Michael Savage trusts.
So I'm having an imaginary Chinese meal in a greasy joint that I like in San Francisco. I've complained about it for 40 years. And yet, strangely enough, I'm drawn back to the grease and the tables that your hands stick to. I mean, they don't even use Windex on the tables. They're so cheap. They know me, too, but they'll cheat me anytime they can by skimping on the chicken or the shrimp. I don't eat shrimp anymore. It's sewer shrimp everywhere, unless I get it from the Gulf, and I'm not into diving in the Gulf of Mexico. It's all sewer food anyway, what we're getting in the country, unless it's organically grown and the cow went to Harvard. I mean, you may as well not eat anything anymore. You may as well live on morning dew. Morning dew and Chesterfields. You might be better off than eating shrimp. So I'm having the imaginary dinner with the president. And you know why I'm smiling? Because it's such an amazing reality that I live in. If I have a dream Saturday night that I had a Chinese meal with the president and I asked him questions, and then Sunday I sat down and wrote out the questions, and Sunday night WorldNet Daily wrote it up as an article, and Monday morning it was posted on MichaelSavage.com, and Monday afternoon, which is now, I'm talking about it on the radio, and my intuition said I knew the lights would go on like a tilted pinball machine in the Catskill Mountains in the 1950s, and all my lights are on. You can't get on the show. Every red light is blinking over this, because it's so good. It's so good. I wish to God that you understand me. I wish to God the president would send out a missive and saying, you know what, Savage, I'm going to take you up on it. We are going to go to a Chinese restaurant. There will be no microphones, no makeup, no cameras, no notes. I genuinely would like you to put aside your doubts and fears about my agenda and the millions of people who actually have the same fears you do. I don't want division in the country. Now, I may not give you the answer you want. I may continue to support what I'm doing and my policies. You may not like them, but I'm going to tell you why I did them. That could put a lot of people at rest. Now, you may say, well, why are you doing that? Savage, why are you doing it? Why would you let him bamboozle you the way he bamboozled O'Reilly? Well, first of all, the likelihood of this happening is zero. I would say less than zero. That's number one. I don't work with Fox News. I don't think that the president listens to the show. I don't think his handlers listen to the show. Maybe one of the lowly handlers listens to All Talk Radio and does a summary report for the next handler and goes up. But, you know, this is a very, very good idea for America. Not for me, not for the president. It's actually a very good idea for America. You take an ardent opponent, a super conservative like Savage, and he doesn't work for a network. People kind of trust him because they know he's an honorary, independent guy from another world, lives in his own world. He doesn't have an axe to grind. He happens to love America. He doesn't understand why you're doing these things. Answer them. You're slicker than Savage. Sit down with them and have some of that smoked ham with string beans. Have some of the braised rock hard filet. God only knows where the fish comes from. Although if I were the president, I'd bring an assistant with a bottle of Windex and a food taster. I could be his food taster because I'll tell you, I've eaten there for 40 years. And the truth is I've never gotten sick. That's the odd thing. We could have onion cake to start with. We could have spring rolls. I'm getting so hungry. I got to stop this. All I want to do is eat now. So here's two more questions I didn't throw up there. You could put in the rest. Number 12, why do you make policy and change laws by presidential executive order when the Constitution grants those powers only to Congress, Mr. Obama? Why won't you speak out against the Islamist radicals who massacre Christians throughout the Middle East and North Africa, Mr. Obama? Why don't you encourage the expansion of charter schools so that underprivileged minority students have a chance at a real education, so they're not trapped in a school system that dooms them to never realizing their dreams? When 90% of African Americans voted for you and want charter schools to be funded? They're good questions. There's nothing inflammatory about them, or not. What do you think? Would you like me to clear the air? Of course you would. To end the mistrust in this country?
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282. Savage.
On Talk Live. You're live with Michael Savage. It's that simple. It's 33 minutes after the hour. You know, all we have in talk radio is our credibility and our brains and, of course, our voice. And if we're right more often than we're wrong, you'll keep listening. If we're right 99% of the time, you'll be a fanatic, which is why I have an audience that's so big and why it's growing despite all the changes. And I got to tell you something. You got to hear me on this, even if you're doubting Thomas. Do you remember in January when we had a drought in California, what I said? Remember what I was saying? Everyone was, oh, there's a drought. Governor Brown declared a drought emergency. Obama's coming out this Friday to talk about the drought, even though we're flooded now. What did I say in January? I said, wait a minute. This is a Mediterranean climate. February is our biggest month for precipitation. We'll probably get a deluge in February. Well, we had a deluge now for 4 days. You need boots. Your car is flooded unless you have a 4x4. I have a little property on a hill where I have an orchard. It has its own reservoir. Well, 2 weeks ago, I was frightened because the reservoir was almost bone dry. I was freaked out because it only gets that way in August and September. I've lived here long enough to know it's over like 15 years I've looked at this little reservoir. There's a creek that fills it, a little underground creek. I'm very much in touch with the earth, the deer, the land, okay? This is very unusual for a Major League talk show host because, nevertheless, it's unusual. I have one foot in the urban world and 1 foot in the rural world. Nevertheless, I look at the reservoir 2 weeks ago, bone dry, boom. I go up there yesterday in a pair of boots. The spillway is overflowing. I'm talking gusher. I'm talking spillway gusher. Do I need a moron at the San Francisco Chronicle newspaper to tell me whether the drought is over? Do I need a federal putz? Do I need a federal putz to tell me whether or not we have water in the reservoir? No, I don't need it. Common sense would dictate where we are at. God, in other words, or nature, however you want to put it, already corrected what the morons already said. It's finished. It's drought. We're going to die. Buy 12,000 bottles of water. The government will, FEMA will help you. Get ready. What are you talking about? I told you there'd be rains in February. There are rains in February. So that's why if I say to you I have a dream that I have a Chinese meal with Obama, it's only a dream. I can't predict this will happen. I would say on a on a, if I were a betting man, which I'm not, I've never bet. Even in Vegas, I'm the guy who doesn't bet. If I go to a casino, I don't bet. That's, I don't know why. I don't find any getty. I don't get a kick out of it. I ran out of my betting phase when I was 11. I went through a whole a phase of gambling between the ages of 11 and 11 and a half. I got so into it that I bought a roulette wheel. I'll never forget it, with a green felt. I got a visor. I set it up in my mother's basement. I became like a croupier. I got all the kids in betting nickels and pennies. What did I make, $12 a week? I became, instead of being the gambler, I opened up the casino. I did. I opened the casino in the basement. And the kids thanked me for it. I had the brains to go out and buy the roulette wheel and the green felt and put out a smorgasbord. See what I mean? This is capitalism. In other words, the communists would say, why can't I gamble if there's no casino? Well, someone has to invest the money to open the casino and to keep it running. So they're entitled to make a small profit. You understand? Anyway, here we are. And I thought this dream would trigger what it's triggered, which is a torrent. A torrent of questions that Bill O'Reilly didn't ask from you, of President Obama. Now, I'm not knocking. It's an offhanded jape at O'Reilly. I get it. He did the best anyone could do from, let us say, Fox News. He couldn't go any farther than this. I mean, you wouldn't expect him to ask a question that would embarrass the president. You know how long they worked on that interview? 6.5 years to get that interview. So I wrote questions in the imaginary way of if I had that but I did have the dream. That's 1,000% real. I don't know what the broken pickup truck was. I remember when I got out of the truck on the corner of Broadway and Sansome in San Francisco, as sure as I'm sitting here, I got out and I said, excuse me, Mr. President. I had to step over him to get out of the pickup truck. Would you believe it? And he was affable. He was a nice guy. I said, you sure you don't want to come in the restaurant with me? You grew up in Hawaii. You like inexpensive Chinese food. Let's just do it. Let's ask questions. No cameras, no makeup, da da da. And then he didn't say anything, and the truck continued down Broadway onto the Embarcadero to get on the freeway. And I looked at the truck as it left. The back of the pickup truck had like a ladder and tools in it. How am I confusing the president with an ordinary working guy? I don't get it. Maybe subconsciously I have bought the propaganda that he's actually one of us, that my logical faculties, you know, see, dreams are different than reality. I mean, maybe I want to believe in him. You ever think I love the country so much I want to believe in him? Did you ever think I want to believe in him? Did you ever think that's possible? That I would like to believe the man is not out to sell us down the river and turn us into slaves? 855-417-282. Let's go to your callers. WBAP in the great state of Texas. Bill, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please. Bill, you're on the Savage Nation, counting 1, 2, 3. Gone with the wind. 855-407-282. Andrew on WABC. I don't see any numbers, guys. I don't even know what number that is. Okay, you have to put the numbers back on my tello, so we're having another moment of a costume failure here. Every day there's another costume failure on the Savage Nation. So give me Andrew on ABC. I assume it's line 9. Andrew? Patrick on KSMO. Either one is fine. Go ahead, please.
Please.
Go ahead, Andrew. What's on your mind?
Crusade to restore the black family. 73% born out of wedlock. That should be your wife's, you know, cause. Nutrition is important, and you shouldn't be hanging out with bad role models like Jay-Z, who perpetuates out of wedlock birth and smoking marijuana. He, in O'Reilly's defense, he did ask him that, and he said, well, I gave over 10 speeches. Which,
all right, I hear you. Yes, in Leprechaun's defense, that was good. What question would you ask of President Obama if you could have Chinese food with me and him? If I had a dinner with Obama, I've given you the 14 questions I would ask him, and I'm asking you what I missed over Hunan food in San Francisco. Here's some of the news stories while you're calling me. There was a, first of all, in Switzerland, the voters backed an immigration quota. Swiss voters yesterday narrowly backed proposals to reintroduce immigration quotas with the EU. A result, by the way, that calls into question bilateral accords with the EU. Now, this is a very important story. The Swiss did this because the people have a growing concern that immigrants are eroding the nation's distinctive Alpine culture. Duh. Distinctive Alpine culture. There's a mosque going up on every street corner, Alpine culture. Foreigners make up 23% of the population of 8 million, second in Europe only to Luxembourg. So the Swiss have said enough is enough with the invasion of third worlders, especially Muslims, who are taking over our society and turning us into their country, and they voted immigration quotas. Now, of course, the illegitimate left in America would say it's all expatriate American Republicans who moved to Switzerland. That's my joke. You have a clip on that? Play the clip. Let's hear the clip. I don't know. You said a clip ready yet. Oh, well, thanks for another misfeed. That's misfailure number two. Martin on line five, go ahead, please.
Hi, Michael. It's an honor to be on the Savage Nation.
Thank you. What's on your mind from WJR in Detroit, Michigan?
Yes. Michael, it's an honor to be on the Savage Nation.
Yes, and thanks for calling from WJR. So what's on your mind?
John Kerry are making it easy for Iran to terrorize the world.
Yeah, why is John Kerry doing that? Mr. Obama, how do you like the shrimp and Napa cabbage? It's very good, but why are you letting John Kerry, let us say, help Iran terrorize the world? Does that make sense, Mr. Obama? 30 million Americans say no, and 30 million Americans can't be wrong. That's our power, by the way. There are 30 million of us. That's my calculation. I don't mean on this show. There are 30 million Americans who would ask these questions that I'm asking today on the show. And by the way, could you please go to my website, michaelsavage.com, and download the article and use it through your social media. Send it around. Send it around. That's all. Let's go to Bill on WBAP in the great state of Texas. Bill, welcome to the program. Go ahead, please.
Dr. Savage, you're making me hungry. I was stationed in San Francisco back when I was in the Navy.
We have the best. No, we have the best Chinese food in the world. It's better than China.
It was so cheap and good.
It was. And I tell you, the funny thing is, my kids grew up in the cheapest Chinese restaurants in Chinatown. $2.99 lunches, $3.99 dinners, and they're healthy as can be.
Oh, yeah. I don't know if I can mention the name of the place. No,
we can't plug any of these greasy spoons. But you're listening in Texas, Bill, so what's on your mind?
Well, I was going to talk about the, managing the country by executive fiat, but you already covered that. So I'm going to complain about how there's no psychological nudity. I've only heard you get to second base back in the 50s when you were in the Catskills by some sewage.
I promise psychological nudity. I just gave you a dream, which is from my subconscious. How much more can I strip off and show you than that? What more do you want, Bill?
I'm just too literal, I guess.
Well, okay, what would psychological nudity entail in your mind?
No. You know,
You're just pulling my leg, so to speak. It's a family show. 855-400-7282 is the phone number. 855-400-7282. Now, the Olympics. I want to talk about the Olympics for the minute. You know, I'm not a sports fan, but that's irrelevant whether I'm a sports fan or not. I've been watching it off and on, and I turned it on last night. I watched a young lady do a skating. I didn't know who it was. I just turned it on in the middle of it. And this girl, Goldie, I got to look up her name because it's on my website. Hold on. I put it up. And here, Goldie or something. Where is it? What'd they drop it for? Here it is. The Triumph. I use this title, The Triumph of Her Will, Gracie Gold's performance. I've never seen anything like it in my life. I didn't know a human being could be this graceful, this powerful, this poised. She transcended the human body. And I'm not a figure skater, let's say, fanatic. She skated a flawless routine as the U.S. took bronze in team skating. I don't know why she didn't get a gold, but it's not for me to judge. Russia won the gold because the games are in Russia. Are they better? How can anyone be better than her? She's 18 years old. And she could skate like this, but the body looked like, it looked as though her bones were made of a plastic substance rather than of bone, of calcium. I don't know how anyone could bend and float and jump and turn. I kept sitting there biting my lips saying, oh God, please don't slip, please don't fall. For her, not for America. I just watched her. I was so amazed. And you know what the thing is? that the human being can do this, that the human body is capable of this, is astonishing, because all we hear about in America is mesothelioma, and everyone's hurt, and everyone's broken, everyone's injured, everyone's a victim, and everyone's suing everyone, everyone can't do this, and every year it's for 6 Tylenol a minute to make sure that your kidneys blow out, so, and your liver goes out so they can replace your liver and kidneys. I never saw anything like it. How can they keep pushing these drugs on people who simply have an ache and a pain? How can you take that crap and not expect your kidneys and liver to blow out? I say to myself, but here's a woman skating like this. Look what the human body is really all about. It's amazing. You know, I have compassion for the sick and the disabled. I had a disabled brother. It affected me very deeply. So don't accuse me of what I'm not. And we need to take care of the really vulnerable, not the frauds, not the 12 million on disability. How many of the 12 million on federal disability are really disabled? How many? What percent? What would you guess? 10%? That program was not meant to be welfare. Under Obama, our federal disability program has become a welfare scam. Okay, so you tell me about it. But I'm sick and tired of hearing about the sick and the disabled. I want to see the healthy. I want to see those who can exceed at something and excel at something. I'm sick and tired of every show talking about what's wrong with the country. Okay, anyway, that's that. That's that. I have total compassion for the people who are sick and need help, but there's so many cashing in who don't. So Gracie Gold of U.S., medals in team skating. That was beautiful. Talk about your dream. Oh, I have to take a break. When I come back, I'll give you more menu items from the Hunan right here on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Through every stage of its story, it's resisted any notion of limitation. Through every reinvention, only redoubling its desire to cast a towering presence. The empire that ascended to affirm a colossal footprint. The revolution that birthed one of modern history's pivotal experiments.
Stop the music. Did you hear that? That's NBC. Nothing but, you can take the C word and add to it as you wish. That's their description of communist Russia. A revolution that birthed one of modern history's pivotal experiments. Well, it was an experiment, Marxism. It yielded 110 million deaths. But I guess the morons at NBC didn't read the history books. Who wrote this? Oh, NBC, I'm sorry. That's the same group that runs MSNBC. Oh, owned by General Electric. I see. Oh, you mean that wonderful light bulb company that earned over $5 billion domestically and paid no taxes last year? Oh, now what does that have to do with saying that communism was a revolution that birthed one of the modern history's pivotal experiments? It's outrageous, but I don't miss a thing. An ant doesn't walk by Michael Savage that I don't get out the old microscope for. So let me continue with my harvest of dreams. I had a dream. I went to dinner with President Obama, or invited him to dinner. And I invited him to have a simple dinner. No microphone, no recorders, no makeup, no lights. And we just had Hunan food in San Francisco. They'd empty the restaurant for us. I'm sure they'd even probably, I don't know, probably take some of the cracked dishes out and break out the stuff they bought 10 years ago that they save for their relatives. I'm sure that they'd invest in a bottle of Windex to clean the table. They might even clean one of the chairs that the president sat on. You never can tell what they might do for us. But over this meal, why did you do this, Mr. Obama? I want to put aside the mistrust and hatred that 30 million Americans have for you and your administration. Just answer the questions to me, and I'll go back on the radio, and I'll give you your answers. I'll give the answers on the radio. That's simple. Then maybe all of this enmity will end in America, and we'll avoid the coming civil war. Is that possible? Is it?
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning. The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
I want to work with Congress on this agenda wherever I can.
I've got a pen, and I've got a phone.
But in this year of action, whenever I can take steps without legislation,
I can use that pen to sign executive orders.
I will. But wherever I can take steps to expand opportunity for more families on my own, I will. Wherever and whenever I can take steps, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to fight for these priorities. Here's what I've done myself through executive action, $10.10 an hour. So when you hear me talking about using my pen and my phone to make a difference for middle-class Americans and those working to get into the middle class, that's what I mean. Go Team USA.
New Monday.
Aloha Tuesday isn't here yet. Welcome to the Savage Nation. If you've been listening, you know I had a dream on Saturday night that I was on the way to a Chinese restaurant in San Francisco with the president in a pickup truck. And I invited him to have lunch, dinner, whatever, and over greasy Chinese food, no pancake makeup, no Klieg lights, to clear the air, to end the mistrust and hatred, to just answer some questions. Over shrimps and Napa cabbage, Hunan velvet chicken, crispy meat pie, steamed pork dumplings, white rice. Mr. Obama, I ask a few questions that are plaguing 30 million or so Americans. Why did you just sign an executive order making it possible for foreigners with terror ties to become citizens? Why did you refuse to send military help to the people trapped in Benghazi? Why have you dismissed almost the entire nuclear command structure on trumped-up charges? And 12 other points. They can be found on my website, michaelsavage.com. And I've asked you to join the conversation. If you have any other questions that I may have missed, you can't get on the show. I knew this would excite you because you feel frustrated as I do by the disconnect of this presidency. So I have some great callers on this show. And right now we have a wonderful caller who's interpreting my dream. Mark on KSFO in San Francisco. Mark, please fire away. This is brilliant. Go ahead.
I think the broken down pickup truck in your dream is our country.
I couldn't believe it when I saw this on my board, Mark. You are so right, because dreams, as you know, are simply projections of our subconscious. So he and I were driving around in a broken truck, and he wasn't even driving it. That's the interesting part. We were both passengers. Someone else was driving the truck, Mark.
Of course he's not going to drive.
Mark, how did you come up with that analysis? I really want to know. How did you come up with that?
It just came to me. I was listening to your show, and when you mentioned the broken-down pickup truck, it just came to me.
Mark, another silly question of mine. Are you a psychologist as a professional?
I'm a truck driver.
Well, there you go. Smarter than most psychiatrists. The bedrock of America. Well, Mr. Truck Driver Mark, you just won a $50 free gift for Valentine's Day and berries.com for Sherry's Berries. They're unbelievable. The chocolate-covered strawberries that I love that advertise on my show, go to berries.com and click Michael, click Savage. But he gets it for free, a $50 job. I can't send you Hunan food wrapped in chocolate, nor would I suggest you eat it. But I can send you that. So during the break, I'll show you what kind of life I lead. I was starving. I was talking about Chinese food. I can't get it. I just can't get it during a show, right? I run into the radio refrigerator, and I take out an eggplant dish that I brought that was, you know, frozen. I put it into the microwave and heated it up. I just ran up and down into the, in 3 minutes I ate lunch. That's my power luncheon. That's okay. It's the life I chose. It's the life I love. It's the life I want to lead. If I wanted another life, I would lead it. But we're living in very, very seriously twisted times, and people are having nightmares over this president. You see, it's not just a liberal. It's not that we have a liberal president. That would be bad enough. But we don't just have a liberal president. We have a radical president. Radical is a code word for something quite worrisome. Nothing that he does seems to be in the interests of America. That's what 30 million Americans fear. So my dream was an attempt. You see, dreams, the years I spent in the Fiji Islands, one of my Fijian friends, when I had a nightmare in one of the villages, said to me, "Don't worry, Michael, it's not going to come true." He said, "Usually we dream the opposite of what's going to come true." So it's 100% sure I will not have lunch with the president. It's probably 110% true that I will not have dinner with the president. It's also true that dreams are an attempt to make sense out of our worst fears. So in other words, I, as a Boy Scout, would like to dream that the most radical president in American history would actually sit down with me. One of his most vocal and loyal critics, when I say loyal, I mean loyal to America and the ideals of America, that one of his most vocal critics would be worthy of a conversation on these questions that are plaguing 30 million of us. Think of how far this would go to settle some of the mistrust in this country. And so I ask you to join the conversation. There are many other stories I haven't gotten to, and I'd like to throw one of them out now. Maybe I'll save it for now. I think I should do it right now before I take our calls on your questions. There was a disturbing story of a naked, face-biting man in Florida that I heard about on Saturday. It was up in the Florida Sun Sentinels. Addison Joseph tore off his clothes and bit a teenager's face during a wild rampage. This is an amazing story because it's not being covered by CNN. CNN is trying to stir up a race war in Florida with another case of a black man being shot by a white man, but they're not talking about the black man who tore off his clothes, accosted white people, including a retired 66-year-old white policeman, beat him up. He was stopped from beating him up on a walking path, and then he ran into a young 18-year-old and a 10-year-old child. The boy was walking with his sister. This naked man ran after the sister and tried to grab her. And this kid, this 18-year-old, fought with this 250-pound, 6'2" monster, like a Frankenstein. And it's only because the kid had not a gun but a box cutter that he was able to keep him from killing him. And the father came out and tried to punch the guy and get him off the son. That didn't help. Finally, the cops show up. You ready for this? The cops show up. They shoot him with a taser. It doesn't stop the maniac. They shoot him in the torso. It doesn't stop the maniac. They had to shoot him again and again for him to stop. He was growling like an animal. He almost tore the face off the 18-year-old boy with his teeth. That story's not being covered by the national media. And I looked at the story. It's on a you can see a video of it. I linked it up on michaelsavage.com. It's frightening. It's frightening. It's frightening. Now, of course, immediately he appeared on television with lawyers. Excuse me, not him. He's dead. He went to the hospital and he died there. The mother already and the sister came already with an ambulance chaser. They're screaming racism at the Delray police. The police saved everyone's life. If they didn't shoot him, other people would have been dead. That's what every eyewitness says. But it doesn't stop these vermin with law degrees. Not all of them are vermin, but many of them, too many of them are vermin with law degrees, from already claiming racism and trying to start up a race war and a settlement. It's sickening. The Delray police should be given an award. So I was so angry at this story that I figured I would tell you about it, and you go watch the video yourself. Take a look what you think, and you'll come to the same conclusion any jury in the world would come to. Thank God for the police. Thank God that we have police to protect us from maniacs. 855-407-2822. What questions would you have for President Obama if you could sit down with him at a Chinese meal and put this to an end? I think it's a great topic. I'd love to do it. WABC, New York City. Mary, you're up. What would you ask the president at a meal?
The president, why are you not enforcing the standing immigration laws at all the borders, the land and the sea, especially the airports? You can definitely check visa overstays. That's not too difficult. This is not a small oversight. It's not done by just a few bureaucrats. It's really just government policy, which really means it's a change of the laws that we have. And
to allow...
You know, it's such a bad topic for the Democrats that even Chuck Schumer said there's no rush for immigration reform. It will kill the Democrat Party, but worse than that, it'll destroy America. You know that only 3% of Americans think that immigration is an important enough topic to even have it done? That's the truth. So, on today's Savage Nation radio program, I'm asking questions Bill O'Reilly didn't ask Obama. I'm doing it for a reason, because these are good questions. Anyone listening to this show disagree with any of my questions? Is there a liberal out there who says, you know, Savage, I like your idea, it's very good radio, it's a good shtick, but you shouldn't have asked the president question A, B, C, or D? Is there one question I asked that you think is unfair? I can't think of it. Not one. 855-400-7282. We have other great sound bites. NBC glorifying communism as one of modern history's pivotal experiments. Tell that to your uncle who's dead in a military grave for having fought the communists. Now, he is a real killer. One of the questions I asked the president was, why did you, I don't know which question it is, but it was about letting in people on terror watch lists or loose terrorist ties to become citizens. It's here. But nevertheless, it's in one of my questions. We have the new immigration exemptions. He signed with an executive order behind your back, along with John Lurch Kerry and the genius who runs the Department of Homeland and Security. Listen to clip five. Clip five from Michael.
We're vetting these people properly, and now we've lowered the bar among a population that the 9/11 Commission warned us might well contain terrorists among them. Realize that when someone comes from a country involved with terrorism, it's almost impossible to adequately vet them quickly. And we've had case after case. The guy that shot up the CIA in 1993, Kansi, Ramzi Youssef, World Trade Center bombing, 1993. Granted, political asylum, plants a bomb in the garage of the World Trade Center, kills six, injures over 1,000.
That's a retired INS special agent when we still had a country run by a government we trusted, saying, what the heck is Obama doing? What is Kerry doing? What is the Department of Homeland Security doing? Why are they passing an immigration, revision in the middle of the night, letting people who are on loose terrorist watch lists become citizens? What are they doing? Listen to clip six.
I want America to be compassionate, but they need to remember, our government needs to remember, especially this administration needs to remember, we have immigration laws for two primary purposes, protect innocent lives and the jobs of Americans. And if you're not going to deal with the national security implications, then you're undermining national security, you're putting Americans at risk, and they don't seem to get it. Listen, they're violating all the recommendations and findings of the 9/11 Commission.
So there is a real American, worked for the INS when there was an INS that tried to keep bad people out of this country. And now we have a government that seems to only want bad people into the country, and the good people subdued and, let us say, with bits in their mouth. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. The Savage Nation is presented by Swiss America at 800-BUY-COIN, the only gold company Michael Savage trusts.
We have breaking news. The Sandinista-loving, Marxist-loving mayor of New York just came out in his State of the City address calling for ID cards for illegal aliens. To me, it violates federal law, number one. It's an impeachable offense, number two. But since we have Barack Obama in the White House and Eric Holder in the Justice Department, I doubt very much that de Blasio would be acting on his own. So I had a dream that perhaps the president would answer to us why he's in love with illegal aliens and why he despises the American citizen so much. I had other questions for him. I like your calls on these topics. Josh in Lansing, Michigan on WJIM. Welcome to the program. Go ahead, please.
Hi there, Mr. Savage. Welcome to be on the show. It's really a pleasure. Basically, I have on immigration reform. Pretty much the powers that be are saying there's 11 million illegals, and I say in order to get things passed and get some kind of reform, we need to put a cap on the actual enrollment to the immigration reform.
Well, if they say 11 million, when has the government ever been accurate? It's probably more like 30 million. But if you gave 30 million people amnesty, don't you think they then have the right to bring in their family? I mean, what would that do to America?
It would ruin America. That's why we need to get immigration reform done in the manner that I'm describing. Because if we put a cap on the enrollment...
But you're saying, like, limit it to 5 million and that's it, and draw a line in it? And then what? Then you're going to hear the screaming that you're breaking up families and you have no right to deport them?
Well, I do hear that. That's why it's a two-part thing. Second, I would say that we need to put a cap on the enrollment time, meaning that any current illegal alien right now has a year or perhaps 2 years to enter this bogus program. You know, I'm a Tea Party member. I call it a bogus program. But I can get this done. And the way you do it is you make them not want to do it. And the way you do that is you say, listen, after 1 or 2 years, any illegal immigrant found illegal is immediately deported.
Listen, Josh, you know what will happen in 2 years. Nobody will deport them. Do you think that there's a politician in this country with the guts to line up the buses and send them back where they came from?
Well, Mr. Savage, what I'm saying is anybody who enters the program with their own free will and goes through all the hoops, they would never be deported. The person who would get deported would be someone who never entered the government program and, say, 15 months down the line,
Josh, I agree that we have to do something, but there's a better way, in my opinion, than letting 5 million illegals become citizens. And that would be to send an army of inspectors into every welfare office, every motor vehicle bureau, and crack down on these illegal aliens who are sucking our system dry with welfare, food stamps, and benefits they're not entitled to. I say if you cut off the sugar, the ants will stop coming to the hive.
100% with that. And
I say if we cut off the sugar, they'll stop coming into this country. You cut those benefits off and suddenly you no longer have an attractant drawing them in. What do you think they're coming here for? Not all of them work as hard as the ones we see working. For every one worker, there are three non-workers living at home, living off the fat of the land, as my deceased father would have said. Living off the fat of the land. Savage Nation, I'll be right back.
Savage Nation, call now, 855-400-7282. Savage.
To all of my fellow New Yorkers who are undocumented, I say, New York City is your home too. And we will not force any of our residents to live their lives in the shadows. We want to make sure that no son or daughter of our city goes without the bank accounts, the leases, the library cards that make everyday life possible simply because they lack identification.
All right, what you're hearing now is a sellout of the worst kind. That's Bill de Blasio, that's not even his real name, who was foisted upon the residents of the city of New York primarily by illegal aliens who had no right to vote, and now he's going to grant them identity cards. Of course, the only reason he wants them to have identity cards is so they can vote and continue to keep this communist bloc from ever getting found out or thrown out. It's shocking that the country has fallen this far, but it has. And we are talking about what to do about it on the Savage Nation. And if I were wrong about my feelings, I wouldn't be on the air. I would have been thrown off a long time ago. Every country in the world wants limits on immigration. There's not a country on earth that says we want more immigrants. Not one. Not one. The only people who want the immigrants are the radical leftist Democrats, whose very careers depend upon the illegal vote. That's how they get elected. And they foist upon us illegal aliens, lies about science that are not real. They tell us that the drought is a result of global warming, and then suddenly the skies open up and we have a deluge here in the San Francisco area. And Obama's coming out Friday to talk about the drought and how to fix it with Governor Brown. Now, back last month, I told you we'd get rains in February. It was logic, I know, because I've lived here longer than most of the people in politics or in the news business who don't even know where they're living. I don't know where they're from. They're like illegal aliens from another planet. We found the clip back from last month to show you how right I usually am. And you got to hear it because I have a lot of detractors who don't know how right I usually am. Here's what I said about the drought a month ago in clip 21. I know the history of California's weather because I've lived here since 1974. We've had dry Januaries, never as dry as this, admittedly. Okay? We usually get walloped with our big storms in February. massive storms, avalanche-level storms, you know, rain, snow. I'm hoping it happens. I suspect that Mother Nature will correct this. And if not, she'll correct it next year. There are cycles in a Mediterranean climate. By the way, has Jerry Brown forgotten we live in a Mediterranean climate? Does he know what a Mediterranean climate is? Does anyone remember the words Mediterranean and climate put together? This is a Mediterranean climate. It runs in cycles. So I suspect Mother Nature will correct herself, whether it's this year or next. Don't panic over it. 855-407-282. It's the Savage Nation. Let's go to KSFO. Charles, you're on the air. What's on your mind?
Dr. Savage, I just wanted to thank you because with your comment in regards to the drought and the Mediterranean climate in California, you introduced clarity and logic, which is needed because we have so many environmental global warming nut jobs out there.
Oh, yeah, they're convinced that this dry spell is a result of global warming, even though there's a wet spell over most of the earth. They don't know about what happens west of Sacramento. I mean, east of Sacramento. Their minds don't go beyond Sacramento. They're as dumb and as provincial as the people who don't look outside their own village. Most Californians are fundamentally villagers. They don't even know what goes on outside their own little city, so they assume it's global warming.
Okay.
It's a Mediterranean climate, so you must know what that means, I guess.
Oh, yes, and I'm 55 years old. I was born and raised here, so to take everybody in the nation down memory lane, back in the late 1970s, around 1978, we had a drought that was so bad, they were literally telling you that basically if you used your restroom facilities and it was a number one, don't flush it after about 7 or 8 years.
Oh, I remember living through those ages. It was horrible. There are still people who don't flush with number one. I almost puke from it when I go into a public bathroom.
Oh, yeah. But what was interesting, now you go to the early 80s, about 81, 82, we had so much rain when you were coming down off of the Grapevine, and for your national listeners, that's the mountain range that separates the Southern California, Los Angeles area from the Central Valley, about half between LA.
Yeah, I've gotten caught in blizzards on the Grapevine. It's a pretty ferocious road.
And when you came down the hill in 1981, 82, the Central Valley was so flooded, it looked like an ocean with Highway 99, the bridge.
So before we go, Charles, do you suspect, as I do, that we'll get deluged in February, or if we don't, that Mother Nature will correct herself next year?
If we don't, it'll either be next year or the year after, but it's going to...
All right, so you, okay, I just confirmed what you've all come to expect from me, which is wisdom, logic, and knowledge. And that's why I'm on the radio and you're not. That's the truth. And it's a tough job. I'm starting increasingly to get affected by it, which is why I'm dreaming about Obama in a pickup truck having Hunan food with me, because it's getting me very depressed. Everybody that I know, and that's not a lot of people who are conservative and in the media, and there's maybe two, three people I speak to in the media who are conservative, they're very, very, very worn out from the battle. You don't want to know this, but I got to tell you, it's wearing on a lot of people. I'm lucky because I'm resilient and I have other methods of coming back from stress. And I hope I can keep bouncing back from it. But these communist Marxists are relentless. There's an army of them everywhere. They run the media. They run the government. They run the academia. And they're relentless. They're fanatic. And they want only one end. There's only one end that they have in mind, and they must be stopped at all costs. Now let's go back to the calls. KSFO in San Francisco, I have a great caller who wants to have a conversation with the president, and he has a question he'd ask that I didn't ask. Greg, welcome to the program. What would you ask of the president?
I would ask the president how legalizing marijuana is going to benefit our society.
Well, the same way legalizing illegal aliens is benefiting illegal aliens.
You know, when I was young, I that was the first drug I ever used, and it was not a benefit to me.
And was it the last drug you ever used?
No, it was not. It was.
Greg, listen, I had a rehab guy call me last week. He runs a rehab clinic. He said, Michael, you're 100% right. Pot is the most dangerous of all drugs, number one. Number two, ask anyone who's tried to kick it if they're addicted. And number three, everybody who's ever gone through rehab thinks it's the worst idea in the world to suddenly glorify marijuana.
I just can't get over the fact that he does not talk out about in a you know way that's going to disillusion somebody. And he
that's right. In other words, right. You don't have to criminalize something to discourage people from using the drug. Correct.
discouraging and not make it such a glamorous thing to do.
That's right. Well, look what they did with this actor, Philip Seymour Hoffman. They turned him into a victim.
That's exactly.
I didn't see Philip Seymour Hoffman as a victim. I saw him as a junkie who was selfish, narcissistic, and chose the drug and the needle over his own children and his own life. He was a selfish, narcissistic junkie.
And it's in the vein that I have finally in my life been able to get right. And
look, I was lucky. I had a tough father, and my mother used to say to me, I remember when the pot years came around, and I did smoke pot for many years as a youngster. I hated it. I never liked it because I have a Stradivarius for a brain, not a banjo. And I found people with banjo brains like marijuana because they start to think that they're playing the violin. I'll be right back. It's the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Well, the Swiss voted to curb immigration because 23% of their fellow citizens are not Swiss, and they're losing their national identity. And the leader of Britain's main Eurosceptic party hailed wise Swiss voters for backing curbs on EU immigration, saying it would encourage other nations across the continent to slam the door shut. And listen to what he said. He said he's sick and tired of Switzerland putting up to the bullying from Brussels. I'd like to know why we're standing up for the bullying by Obama, by Holder, and by de Blasio. Why are we letting them bully us? Most Americans do not want their nation and their national identity, rather, destroyed by these hordes of illegal aliens. It's that simple. It's really that simple. It's bullies like Obama, de Blasio, and the others who are trying to force them down our throats because their entire future depends upon them. WABC in New York, Anne-Marie, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hello.
Yes, what's on your mind, Anne-Marie?
Hi, good afternoon. We don't have a great connection, but yeah, you're my 4 o'clock ride home. I'm a nurse for 42 years from Brooklyn through the horrible traffic of Staten Island.
Let me
tell you, it's been horrendous. There are so many illegals. I mean, I'm in a clinic, and they come in, and we can't refuse them care, but they pay cash. Why can't we just report these people and say adios and send them back?
When they come in, do they demand a translator as well?
Some of them do, yes.
Uh-huh.
And nobody.
I've gone to the emergency room here at Marin General Hospital, and I was shocked to see the kids with runny noses from Mexico are allowed in there because the law forces the hospital to treat them, and six family members are with them, taking up valuable emergency room space, and they have to get them a translator. Just for a kid having the flu, for example.
But not even the flu. They come in because they know they'll be seen. They won't be turned away. And like where we are, we have urgent care. So they come in, this is your, and they'll say they're undocumented, they're illegal. They'll pay whatever you ask them. I've had people that came in and pay $180 because.
You have them pay? How do you get them to pay? Isn't that racist to demand that a Mexican pay for medical care? That's some kind of violation of their civil rights, isn't it?
They don't have insurance. They're not.
Oh, but what? Wait a minute. Shouldn't the gringo give them free medical care along with food stamps and amnesty?
Well, they don't get all that stuff. A lot of them.
I'm shocked that you even get a cash payment. I'm shocked.
Believe
you're ahead. You're ahead of the curve. You get a cash payment. That's a shocker.
Well, if you come to Staten Island or Brooklyn, they got hordes of them standing on corners. And now the Chinese are taking on. They're waiting for somebody to pick them up and give them work. So they pay them whatever.
I see. Well, maybe Al-Qaeda can recruit from the street corner and give them a vest.
But it's...
You know, we're a compassionate nation, Anne-Marie, but we have to take care of our own first, and we've run out of money. We've run out of space. We've run out of doctors. We've run out of hospitals. We've run out of schools. We've run out of courts. We've run out of jails. And we've run out of patients.
But now de Blasio wants us to pay for free care for these four-year-olds.
Did you hear what de Blasio just said? He wants to give ID cards to all the illegals in New York. Did you hear that soundbite, Anne-Marie?
He can jump on the boat and go back to Mexico with them or wherever they come from, Colombia, China. You can't believe Ecuador. How do these women get to travel at 38 weeks pregnant? Now they've got a little citizen. And what?
That's right. Only a moronic nation like ours would permit anchor babies to be dumped on our doorstep.
Yeah. It's totally...
Canada banned it about 20 years ago. Socialist Canada saw the Chinese doing it to them. And it was a man of Chinese descent, a Canadian parliamentarian, who said we can't permit them to fly in 9 months pregnant, dump the baby on our doorstep and make them a citizen. They ended the anchor babies in Canada 30 years ago. Are you aware of that?
No, I'm not.
Only in this dumb nation, can we be bullied by a bunch of lying liberal SOBs who tell us we're racist because we love our country, Anne-Marie.
Well, because they promise, and look at the people that vote for them. I mean...
Well, how do you think de Blasio won 70-some-odd percent of the vote? Can't we assume that a goodly percentage were people who had no right to vote? Yeah, I would assume it. By the way, Anne-Marie, are you, you're listening on WABC, and I'm your 4 o'clock ride. Were you a former listener to the Wall Banger?
My husband may have been, but we were listening to Hannity also. So this is my 4 o'clock ride. He has the radio on, and he could see my blood pressure already going up because everything you say, it just makes me explode. Because when they come in, they're demanding.
Well, what do you think about my idea of having Chinese food with the president and putting to rest some of my suspicions? Don't you think that's a reasonable approach?
Exactly. But he won't listen. Why? Because I totally feel I don't think he's a citizen. And he's feeling bad for all these other people that want them.
Well, how about his uncle? How did his uncle become a citizen? He came in here illegally.
Yeah.
Uncle Obama, how did he become a citizen even though he violated and became a green card holder? How'd that happen? Well, these are important questions. That's why I had a dream to have Hunan food with the president. And I generally like to put aside my doubts and fears about his agenda, Anne-Marie, so that your blood pressure could go down.
Well,
I'd like the blood pressure of 30 million Americans to go back to normal. 855-400-7282. The Swiss voted to stop the immigration hordes from taking over their nation. And people are saying, thank God they stood up to the bullies of the European Union. Because it's only these bullies who are doing it to us, by the way. What question would you ask the president if you could have Chinese food with him and I? It's that simple. That's all. WMAL in the heart of darkness. Washington, D.C. Joe on WMAL. What's on your mind, Joe?
Hey, something I wanted to bring up that we seem to miss all the time when we talk about illegal aliens is the amount of criminal aliens that are caught coming across and that are here that's never exposed. And if that is a number that could get put to the public, we could turn this tide a little bit.
Well, Joe, I'll give you a number. 30% or more of our federal prison population are illegal aliens who came here not to work, but to murder, rape, rob, counterfeit, run people over while drunk, and commit other felonies.
Right, and what's going to happen is they're going to say, okay, you have to come and present yourself in order to be...
Well, what worries me is they're not even talking about deporting them. Have you heard one of these SOBs like Schumer or the other lovers of illegal aliens say, you know what, we're also going to deport the prison population because they don't belong here? They won't even talk about deporting them. So what kind of leadership is this? They should all be arrested for what they're doing to us. There should be a people's court. And these criminal politicians should be arrested. Okay, yeah, that'll happen. That'll happen like the president agreeing to sit down with me and talk to me about my fears and putting them to rest. 855-400-7282. Pen and paper. That's what the president needs. He doesn't need a Congress. He doesn't need a population. He doesn't need a Constitution. No. He just needs a pen. And that's all he needs because he's King Obama. So that's another one I would ask him. Why do you revert to executive orders, Mr. President, when the Constitution grants those powers only to Congress? Go to michaelsavage.com. And download this article that you heard today.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Michael Savage.
The American people are sitting like a bunch of schmucks, watching a dictatorship emerge in front of their eyes.
Weekdays, noon till 3.
On Hot Talk 560 KSFO.
We'll be right back.
Warning: The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
New Monday, how I eat new Monday. Got to work.
The Savage Nation. Back in January, I told you that we get our heaviest winter weather in February. And the drought would probably be mainly erased. And, of course, my facts were correct because I've lived here long enough to know what a Mediterranean climate is. Apparently, the dunces in the media forgot that this is a Mediterranean climate. I had a dream over the weekend that I invited President Obama to a Hunan meal, over which I would ask him 10 or 12 questions to put aside the doubts and the fears we have about him and his agenda. And we've been talking about that for 2 hours now on The Savage Nation. If you just joined us, you can get it on michaelsavage.com. Also in the last 2 hours, I told you a story that didn't make it to your local paper about a lunatic in Delray Beach, Florida, who stripped naked and almost killed several people before he was finally shot by police and killed. And he's hired lawyers claiming it's a white-on-black crime. Thank God for the Delray police. Or there'd be people who were dead. He bit the face of an 18-year-old boy, tried to grab his sister, attacked a 66-year-old man. They tried a taser on him. It did nothing. 250 pounds, 6'2". Wait, there's another one now. Within a week, there's another one that just happened. Here's one in Lake Worth, Florida. Again, naked attacker arrested after bizarre incident in suburban Lake Worth, Florida. What drugs are they on? Here's another one. This one is Jason Valentine. Oh, no, that's one of the victims. I don't know who it is. Hopper. Comes in the house, tries to break in, rips off his clothes. So he runs out the back, jumps in a trampoline, and gets out of the house. Comes out of the house armed with a clock, takes a defensive stance. Hopper says he won't obey orders, so a deputy releases a police dog. Conrad immediately began to punch the dog's head with closed fists and attempted to gouge out the police dog's eyes, deputies said. Two more officers arrive. Hopper the lunatic is hit with a baton, and officers triggered a dart-firing stun gun, which knocked the madman down. He was finally fitted with steel cuffs, but it did not change Conrad's temperament as he continued to kick at deputies and thrash around violently. Wait, it gets better. At one point, Hopper in a hobble leg restraint, they have him in a hobble leg restraint, but even then he got one hand free and continued to punch and thrash officers. Six more officials, including sheriff's deputies, Palm Beach Fire Rescue firefighters, arrived to join in. All of them were able to push Hopper onto a backboard stretcher. They get him to the hospital. They give him a shot of Valium, which still had no effect in calming him down, police said. He was taken to Wellington Regional Medical Center. Battery on a police dog, blah, blah, blah. I suppose that Al Sharpton will be out there screaming that his rights were violated by the evil white racist police. I suppose Jesse High Jackson will go there with marbles in his mouth and scream about racism. Thank God for the police. Thank God for the police. It's about time you recognized that the police, the wolves would rip you apart if it wasn't for our wolfhounds called the police. If we didn't have wolfhounds, the wolves would tear you apart. That's all. What questions would you ask President Obama if you could go to dinner with him and I? The chances of it happening are less than zero. Obama wants the division, number one, in my opinion. He wants doubts and fears. He likes it. It gives him more power over you. That's how he can bully you. But let's say that he did agree, just for the heck of it. The same way you actually believe Wallbanger is moving from New York. That's how you can believe Obama wants peace and quiet in America. Let's take some calls. KSFO, San Francisco. John, welcome to the program. What's on your mind?
Hi, Michael. You have a great bunch of questions, but here's a real simple one. Here's the question you need to ask them. Why aren't you just fulfilling the platform that you ran on and fulfill those promises? Just those.
What do you mean? You mean like the most transparent administration in history?
Right. That's real.
No spying on average Americans. I mean, that's something even Democrats could agree with me on.
I mean, I agree with your questions. I think you're spot on, but it's like, why isn't he fulfilling what he ran on even? He's not even doing that.
You know, I said I had run into a friend, an old friend of mine yesterday in the supermarket I hadn't seen for years. Well, he's a liberal lawyer, but he said to me, look, Michael, he said, I agree with you on 75% of what you say and 25% I would argue with you on. He said, but I really don't like Obama, and I voted for him. I said, why? He said, because he's not liberal enough, because he didn't live up to attacking the 1%, for example. I mean, that's absurd.
Right.
I said, who does he hang around with? I mean, did he invite homeless into the White House or the 0.01%ers? Why does anyone believe a word of this? Anyway, I get it. I get it. What would you like to ask the president if you were to be invited to a dinner with me and him? She already made it real. It's about as real as Hannity moving from New York. And I'd like to sit down with him and have Hunan shrimp, Hunan velvet chicken, crispy meat pie, steamed pork dumplings, and white rice over a beer. And I'd like to ask the president a few questions that I think are plaguing the nation. People are agitated from this man. There's a soundbite that I have to play for you from a man named Martinez, who's a Cuban refugee, who confronted Oregon lawmakers on gun control. He understands what Cuba was after the Castro gangsters took over his country. Listen to Martinez in clip 10.
This bill is a step forward, close to gun control, period. To disarm the American people, period. What I'm interested in know, what is behind this? They come here in those dog and pony show and try that they're going to protect people. You're going to protect nobody.
Okay. That's Mr. Martinez confronting the bullies in the Oregon Democrat Senate trying to seize guns from people under the guise of gun control. Listen to Martinez says in clip 11.
Do you know what is behind the problem that we have in this country with this Marxism? Marxism is not Marxism is here. Marxism has been in for quite a while. And the politicians allow that because they are ignorant or they are part of the plot. Don't sell me this. A very powerful man tried to sell me this 50-something years ago. I didn't buy it. Do you think I'm going to buy it now? After pushing 80 years? This is Marxism. Plain and clear.
Boy, this guy would be a good talk show host. This guy Martinez is my kind of guy. I'd like to sit down and have some Cuban coffee with him. It gets even better. Listen to a real man. See, this is why America once welcomed Cuban immigrants above others. In other words, if they got here illegally, they were made citizens. You know why? They were anti-communists when America was anti-communist. But now Obama reaches out to not only communists, but terrorists and tries to get them into the country. No, there's been no revolution. No, there's been no revolution. It's all an imaginary event. Listen to clip 12 now.
Communist, socialism, humanism, I heard that too in my native country. They put this dog and pony show saying, hey, we're going to protect you. No, what they did was enslave a country. They destroyed a country the same way that this country is going to be destroyed if we continue in this round. A very powerful man could have silenced me, put me in chain. But my spirit was never.
God, I love him. Listen to the last 14.
I've been there when you probably start learning how to walk. I was there. I was when I saw the assassinations. The people who are killed for free. And you're telling this to the people here, and the governor of this West State come here and see that, say no. We need registration. No, my friend, you don't sell this to me. You sell this to the people who don't have self-respect, self-determination, and they are weak, and they love to be subjugated and be dependent on the government.
Wow. Wow. That man is a brother. That's Martinez screaming at these communist bums in Oregon to so-called lawmakers. They should be ashamed of themselves, trying to seize guns, saying what you heard him say. He knows he's been there. He knows he heard it. It was all sold the same way to him. They told him they were going to protect him in Cuba. They told him that it was humanism. And he's 80-some-odd years old. I heard he almost broke into tears at the end. 80-some-odd years old, that's when we used to reach out to Cubans to bring them in. Now we're reaching out against anyone who was anti-communist. They're seeking the lowest common denominator around the planet. Do you realize that Mexico is a socialist nation? Do you understand what happens when you grant amnesty to 30 million socialist citizens from a socialist country? Don't you understand what Obama's doing and what the Democrats are doing and why they're doing it? Because if you grant amnesty to people from a socialist nation, they want to mirror what they left behind, except they want the benefits, the old greenback. They don't understand that one doesn't come without the other, that you can't have the benefits of America with socialism. They don't understand that because the greedy Democrats, do I have to name them, have hoodwinked them into believing that they can have the benefits and bring socialism here and then bamboozle the ordinary citizen. Can't be done. Hasta la victoria siempre. Hasta la victoria siempre, Castro used to say in his cohorts. See, I grew up on Cubano music. I loved Cuban music in New York City. It was what made my feet move. All the great dance clubs. I can remember all the great songs of the 50s before Castro took a seized power. And I remember what happened to the music of Cuba after the revolution. The Cuban music died. Now, many people say, no, it hasn't. It's come back. It's not as good. It's not as good. The people's spirits were stolen from them. It's okay, but it's not great. And you can tell an awful lot about a nation by its music. What's our music in America? What's the characteristic music of America? Illiterate rap music? Illiterate music that sounds like it's being grunted, not sung? Yeah, okay, there it is. That's your new nation. What's this? Who is this? I don't even know who's playing. He's not my idea of a great Cuban musician, but all right, whatever. That's not what I would play. I'd play something else. Yeah, Orquesta Aragón de Cuba. 16-piece orchestra.
Siempre en su casa.
Yeah, hasta la Reina Isabel Baladanzo. 7 years of Spanish. I can remember a few words here and there. Afro-Cubano. Some of the most beautiful music in the world. Hasta la Reina Isabel de Baladanzo. It's the Savage Nation. If you missed the great opening from hour number one, it should be up on michaelsavage.com by the time the cows come home.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
What question would you ask of President Obama if you could have Chinese food with me and him? If I had a dinner with Obama, I've given you the 14 questions I would ask him. And I'm asking you what I missed over Hunan food in San Francisco. Here's some of the news stories while you're calling me. There was a, first of all, in Switzerland, the voters backed an immigration quota. Swiss voters yesterday narrowly backed proposals to reintroduce immigration quotas with the EU. A result, by the way, that calls into question bilateral accords with the EU. Now, this is a very important story. The Swiss did this because the people have a growing concern that immigrants are eroding the nation's distinctive Alpine culture. Duh. Distinctive Alpine culture. There's a mosque going up on every street corner, Alpine culture. Foreigners make up 23% of the population of 8 million, second in Europe only to Luxembourg. So the Swiss have said enough is enough with the invasion of third worlders, especially Muslims, who are taking over our society and turning us into their country, and they voted immigration quotas. Now, of course, the illegitimate left in America would say it's all expatriate American Republicans who moved to Switzerland. That's my joke. Here we are, and I thought this dream would trigger what it's triggered, which is a torrent. So I wrote questions in the imaginary way of if I had that job. But I did have the dream. That's 1,000% real. I don't know what the broken pickup truck was. I remember when I got out of the truck on the corner of Broadway and Sansome in San Francisco. As sure as I'm sitting here, I got out. And I said, excuse me, Mr. President. I had to step over him to get out of the pickup truck. Would you believe it? And he was affable. He was a nice guy. I said, you sure you don't want to come in the restaurant with me? You grew up in Hawaii. You like inexpensive Chinese food. Let's just do it. Let's ask questions. No cameras, no makeup, da, da, da. And then he didn't say anything, and the truck continued down Broadway onto the Embarcadero to get on the freeway. And I looked at the truck as it left. The back of the pickup truck had like a ladder and tools in it. How am I confusing the president with an ordinary working guy? I don't get it. Maybe subconsciously I have bought the propaganda that he's actually one of us, that my logical faculties, you know, see, dreams are different than reality. I mean, maybe I want to believe in him. You ever think I love the country so much I want to believe in him? Did you ever think I want to believe in him? Did you ever think that's possible? that I would like to believe the man is not out to sell us down the river and turn us into slaves. You know, all we have in talk radio is our credibility and our brains and, of course, our voice. And if we're right more often than we're wrong, you'll keep listening. If we're right 99% of the time, you'll be a fanatic, which is why I have an audience that's so big and why it's growing despite all the changes. And I got to tell you something. You've got to hear me on this, even if you're doubting Thomas. Do you remember in January when we had a drought in California, what I said? Remember what I was saying? Everyone was, oh, there's a drought. The Obama declared, Governor Brown declared a drought emergency. Obama's coming out this Friday to talk about the drought, even though we're flooded now. What did I say in January? I said, wait a minute. This is a Mediterranean climate. February is our biggest month for precipitation. We'll probably get a deluge in February. Well, we had a deluge now for 4 days. You need boots. Your car is flooded unless you have a 4x4. I have a little property on a hill where I have an orchard. It has its own reservoir. Well, 2 weeks ago, I was frightened because the reservoir was almost bone dry. I was freaked out because it only gets that way in August and September. I've lived here long enough to know it's over like 15 years I've looked at this little reservoir. There's a creek that fills it, a little underground creek. I'm very much in touch with the earth, the deer, the land, okay? This is very unusual for a Major League talk show host because, nevertheless, it's unusual. I have 1 foot in the urban world and 1 foot in the rural world. Nevertheless, I look at the reservoir 2 weeks ago, bone dry, boom. I go up there yesterday in a pair of boots. The spillway is overflowing. I'm talking gusher. I'm talking spillway gusher. Do I need a moron at the San Francisco Chronicle newspaper to tell me whether the drought is over? Do I need a federal putz? Do I need a federal putz to tell me whether or not we have water in the reservoir? No, I don't need it. Common sense would dictate where we are at. God, in other words, or nature, however you want to put it, already corrected what the morons already said. It's finished. It's drought. We're going to die. Buy 12,000 bottles of water. The government will, FEMA will help you. Get ready. What are you talking about? I told you that there'd be rains in February. There are rains in February. So that's why if I say to you I have a dream that I have a Chinese meal with Obama, it's only a dream. I can't
join
predict.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-7282. Savage.
You don't have to major in a certain subject. You don't even have to be at the very bottom of the income ladder to receive the money. Almost everyone is eligible for some form of financial aid. And all you have to do to access that aid is fill out this one little form. It's so simple. So that's why I'm here. And that's my message for you and for students all across the country. Fill out those forms. Fill them out. Don't leave money on the table.
Now, why do you think Michelle wants the drug addicts and sex maniacs in the colleges, the ignoramuses who don't belong in college, to fill out these forms? They're signing them up for something. They want their names for a list, for elections, that's all. In the old days in Chicago, I understand they used to give out little $5 bottles of brandy in the 30s and 40s. Instead, they give out either food stamps or financial aid now. It's the Chicago way. Now, if you are offended by anything I might say in the coming minutes on the Savage Nation, I have to apologize in advance. I must tell you that I'm suffering from hyperglycemia right now. During the break, I went into the radio refrigerator. I don't do this too often, and I took 3 teaspoonfuls of black cherry jam from an old French recipe. It comes out of Normandy, France. When my head goes low and I feel myself running out of energy, there's nothing like black cherry jam. I just can't believe it. So if I say anything that's offensive to anyone, I apologize in advance. It's the jam that did it. I'm a victim. You'll have to just write it off to my illness, my hyperglycemia. And I'm telling you in advance that if I offend you, it may or may not be that I want to offend you or that what I'm saying is offensive. It could be the jam. And I want you to blame the people of Normandy, France for making this great stuff. All natural ingredients, black cherries concentrated, grape juice, fruit pectin, lemon juice. I don't use it often. Boy, when I do, you talk about rocket fuel. Whew. So here we are in the Savage Nation. You know, I want to go from that, Michelle telling everyone to get financial aid and you don't have to major in anything. I remember when I went to college, I was a poor kid. Oh, would I have loved financial aid. Instead, I took a job. I worked my way through college. Yeah, I worked my way through college. I didn't have Big Daddy giving me a handout. You don't have to be a major in a certain subject. You don't have to be at the bottom of the income ladder. So what's the financial aid for? If the parents have money, what are you giving them financial aid for? Where's the money coming from? Don't leave money on the table, Michelle. Whose money is it? Yours? Take another vacation. Take another vacation. The civil rights racketeers got me sick. Putting that cop-killing lawyer, the lawyer of the cop killer in the Justice Department, and every Democrat who should live in eternal shame for nominating him. Look, the civil rights racket has long been exposed. Here's an article came out while you slept. Martin Luther King's children battling over a state. Ooh, what an embarrassment. Facing the latest in a string of legal battles with the brothers, a daughter of Martin Luther King Jr. is seeking to portray herself as the true heir to her father's legacy. Bernice King has been outspoken this week in her opposition to what she said is a plan by her brothers, Dexter King and Martin Luther King III. Listen to this. To sell their father's Nobel Peace Prize medal and personal traveling Bible. You hear what they want to sell off now? Bernice has possession of both items, and her brothers asked the judge last week to order to turn them over. She says, I take this strong position for my father because daddy is not here to say for himself, my Bible and my medals are not to be sold, she said at a news conference Thursday from the pulpit of the historic Ebenezer Baptist Church where her father and grandfather were pastors. She said, when the record books are written, let it be said that there was at least one heir who tried to further the legacy. Now, what is this about? Ooh, are we allowed to say can we use the word greed, American greed? According to this article, the King children have profited from their father's legacy. In 2006, Sotheby's auctioned off 10,000 documents from their collection for $32 million, with the children receiving equal shares of the money. And they've been suing each other back and forth. David J. Garrow, a historian whose book, Bearing the Cross, Martin Luther King Jr. in the Southern Christian Leadership Conference, won the 1987 Pulitzer Prize, said he wasn't surprised in the slightest to hear about the latest fight amongst the King heirs. Listen to what he said. The agenda has always been greed, Garrow said. It's been about maximizing the dollar value of Dr. King's legacy. So accuse him of being the racist, not me. I don't know whether he ate some black cherry jam, but he wrote that in 1987. Maybe you could retrofit your argument to fit that. While their mother was alive, the King children had periods of not speaking to each other, but they mostly kept disagreements to themselves. After their mother died in 06, it was the oldest daughter, Yolanda, who held the siblings together. But when the daughter, Yolanda, died in 07, that glue was gone. Just a year after Yolanda King's death, the long-simmering dispute between the three remaining King children boiled over, with three lawsuits filed between the siblings in as many months. And so, what can you say about a story like this? Historian Garrow said the fundamental bottom line here is that the King children have no clue what their father's legacy really means. Martin Luther King Jr. was the most unselfish, ungreedy person who ever lived. So one daughter wants to preserve his Nobel Peace Prize medal and personal Bible, and the others want to sell it off for the highest bidder. Maybe they want to buy a new car, a new bling. Maybe they want to be invited to the White House and buy an ambassadorship to somewhere. Who knows? But they need the money. It's an interesting story. So every time you hear the word civil rights, don't assume everyone is so pure. That's what I'm trying to say to you. Stop already with glorifying and deifying actors. Stop falling for the malarkey when someone with a white collar says he's a civil rights activist. What does that mean? Al Sharpton's a civil rights activist? Jesse Jackson's a civil rights activist? Reverend. What's so reverend about him? What's so revered about them? What's the revere about these people? Nothing. That's all. Pardon. It's the jam. It's the jam speaking. It's the jam speaking. Radio reaches 242 million listeners per week, finds Nielsen. Country is number one, news talk is number two. And they said that the business I'm in was dead. They wrote, who listens to radio? Come on, it's over. That's what they said. Oh, it's old. It's old media. Oh, that smokestack. Yeah, the cool people. They Twitter, they tweet, they this, they that. They snort. Well, all right, fine. But they listen to the radio. They listen to the radio anyway in the bus on the way to San Jose. The Googlers, the geniuses in undershirts going with the pimples on their face making $32 million a month. So here we are talking about love, lack of love, talking about politicians and actors being phonies through and through. You know, the thing is, the lack of education has led to the gullibility of the American people to a new level. Every day you hear a lie, one lie after another. Obama gives a speech about income inequality, and those at the top of the pyramid are doing better than ever. And then you read that the ambassadorships that he gave away with the people who bundled more money for him than anyone else. He didn't give it away to a homeless, deserving man. Did he? Did he give it away to a deserving homeless man? Did he give an ambassadorship to some illegal alien? No, he gave it to someone who bundled over $1 million for him. How can you believe anything? So actors and politicians, well, okay, well known, but never been this low. And then just straight out science. Scientists find 800,000-year-old footprints in the UK. That's interesting. They walked upon a muddy estuary during a hot period when the climate in Britain was Mediterranean in climate. Okay, warm, hot, right? And it got stuck. The footprints were found. They were locked in the mud, and the mud turned into silt, and the silt went into the footprint, and the footprint and the hippos and the bison and the mammoth and the hippos and the rhinoceros roamed. And it was significant that their footprints were found, and they were related to Homo antecessor or pioneer man, whose fossilized remains have been found in Spain, 800,000 and a million years old, 100,000 years older than scientists' earliest estimate of the first human habitation in Britain. But what's most significant to me is that 700,000 years ago, Britain had a very warm Mediterranean climate. But before that, they had an ice age. And the climate there was similar to modern-day Scandinavia. Imagine that, I wrote in the footnotes. Climate change before industrialization must have been those polluting, selfish, Neanderthal-like Republicans polluting the earth. How could any educated person walk around and say global warming or climate change? Do they not understand even the fundamentals that they should have learned in the seventh grade? That there were seven ice ages that I know of at least? I learned it by the seventh grade. By the seventh grade in the earth science, I had to learn that there had been seven ice ages on the planet that were then followed by warm periods. This was long before mankind industrialized. It was because of natural events. And don't think I'm arguing for pollution. I've probably done as much, if not more, than anybody on planet Earth in terms of rescuing what I could from the so-called Earth environment. So please, you know, my bona fides are there. I guarantee you I've done more than Dianne Feinstein and Barbara Boxer and 10,000 people like them in terms of rescuing what can be rescued about this great environment of ours. Now, don't lecture me, though, but please don't tell me to be brainwashed by the big lie. You know, if you tell a big lie often enough, it becomes the truth. Have you heard that one? You know who said that? Who said, if you tell a big lie often enough, it becomes the truth, Dianne? Well, it wasn't your speechwriter. It wasn't Obama's spokesmouth. It was none other than Mr. Goebbels. Mr. Goebbels. And I'm not talking about someone who raises rodents. No, sirree, Bob. He was a propagandist for old Adolf. He said if you tell a big enough lie often enough, it becomes the truth. So now the big lie is sustainable, green, climate change. The politicians of today are like Piltdown Man, a fake species that never existed. Invented by Russian scientists. Piltdown Man. That's what politicians in America become. They're like Piltdown Man. They say things that have no relationship to the human being. And they assume someone's believing them. I don't understand it. Last night I made the mistake of going to a local restaurant. Oh, did I dread it. I knew I would. I had to go. I have to eat. There's only a limit to how much I can eat out of a package at home, takeout. Went to a local restaurant. Nice owner, very nice guy. Unfortunately for me, at the very next table were some diehard Marin County liberals of the lowest order. Now, they looked normal. They looked like averagely high school, probably college-educated people. And there it was, somewhere in the middle of the meal, maybe they recognized me, maybe they wanted to offend me in some way. Right away, I heard the following words being uttered by the husband. Greedy Republicans, they only stand for themselves. Mutter, mutter, how's the pasta? How's your, what are you eating? Mutter, mutter, mother-in-law, what are you having? Mutter, mutter, mutter. Next, I heard, well, the sustainability of that project, mutter, mutter, pass the jello. I mean, it went on and on. So at which point I finished as quickly as I could and I left the restaurant. And that's the world according to Michael Savage, and I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
So I'm having the imaginary dinner with the president, and you know why I'm smiling? Because it's such an amazing reality that I live in. If I have a dream Saturday night that I had a Chinese meal with the president, and I asked him questions, and then Sunday I sat down and wrote out the questions, and Sunday night WorldNet Daily wrote it up as an article, and Monday morning it was posted on MichaelSavage.com, and Monday afternoon, which is now, I'm talking about it on the radio, and my intuition said I knew the lights would go on like a tilted pinball machine in the Catskill Mountains in the 1950s, and all my lights are on. You can't get on the show. It's so good. I wish to God the president would send out a missive and saying, you know what, Savage, I'm going to take you up on it. We are going to go to a Chinese restaurant. There will be no microphones, no makeup, no cameras, no notes. I genuinely would like you to put aside your doubts and fears about my agenda and the millions of people who actually have the same fears you do. I don't want division in the country. Now, I may not give you the answer you want. I may continue to support what I'm doing and my policies. You may not like them, but I'm going to tell you why I did them. That could put a lot of people at rest. Now, you may say, well, why are you doing that? Savage, why are you doing it? Why would you let him bamboozle you the way he bamboozled O'Reilly? Well, first of all, the likelihood of this happening is zero. I would say less than zero. That's number one. I don't work with Fox News. I don't think that the president listens to the show. I don't think his handlers listen to the show. Maybe one of the lowly handlers listens to All Talk Radio and does a summary report for the next handler and goes up. But, you know, this is a very, very good idea for America. Not for me, not for the president. It's actually a very good idea for America. You're slicker than Savage. Sit down with them and have some of that smoked ham with string beans. Have some of the braised rock cod filet. God only knows where the fish comes from. Although, if I were the president, I'd bring an assistant with a bottle of Windex and a food taster. Thank God it's Monday on the Savage Nation. We're coming to the conclusion of Hour 3 where you get all the news headlines. What more could you ask for? I hope you guys just don't tune in for the last 10 minutes of the show because you missed 2 hours and 50 minutes of the best broadcasting in the business. So today is Monday, February 10th, 2014. MichaelSavage.com has these and other stories. On today's show, Michael Savage was asking questions that Bill O'Reilly did not ask President Obama in his television interview. Simple questions, and you can get them at MichaelSavage.com. I don't want to reread them for you because they're very basic. Next lead story, Ohio National Guard stages a drill fighting fictional, quote, right-wing terrorists. Not jihadists, not radical Muslims, but right-wing terrorists, meaning white men with guns. How do you like that? Wow. Generation stress. Thousands of under 10-year-olds are being treated for mental health problems that don't even exist. Well, on a positive note, the triumph of her will. Thanks to Gracie Gold's ice skating performance of a lifetime, it was astounding to watch this young lady. I was awestruck by it, to see such grace and such agility and such poise. It was beautiful to watch at the Olympics. Also, this is amazing. Oh, there's so many other stories. I don't know whether to give you the bad ones or the good ones. Let's see, the good ones? I will give you the good ones. Obama vows more income executive orders. That's a good one. If you're a grifter, that's a good one. American jail in North Korea was thrown back in a labor camp for no reason other than he's a Christian, and Obama said nothing about it. I've talked about a naked, face-biting lunatic in Florida. Wow, what's that story? It's on the left side of MichaelSavage.com. See Savage's audio, Why I Oppose Amnesty. Sign up for Savage Nation's free daily newsletter. That costs you nothing. Here's how you can listen to the Savage Nation. See the map. All these stories and these headlines, by the way, are in one place on this show, MichaelSavage.com. Give me 15 minutes, and I'll give you America. Papers now show ruthless Hillary. Wow. A pollster says a record low number of young people are going to vote in 2014. That's very bad for Obama. That's why First Lady said, sign it up. Sign up. Don't leave any money on the table. Didn't work. Anyway, you get the picture. You get the picture. They're in real trouble. Finally, America caught on to the left-wing fanatic in the White House. And by the way, those of you who like Switzerland, they just voted to curb immigration in the referendum. They said they're losing their identity. I guess Switzerland is now filled with American Republican expatriates. The only explanation for the Swiss vote to curb immigration must be all the American Republicans who fled to Switzerland. Oh, my goodness. Did you see what's happening? The train is coming into the station. I hear it coming in. And I recommend you go to the bookstore and check out Train Tracks, my semi-autobiography. It is the Savage Nation. Give me 15 minutes and I'll give you America. Bye-bye.
Savage.
Tackling the subjects they told you never to talk about on the only conservative station in the Bay Area. Hot Talk 560 KSFO.